Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm the host for this podcast. Come January, I will be ordained as a rabbi. And in Judaism, there's a specific portion or reading, we call it a parsha, from the Torah, which is the Hebrew Bible, for every week of the year. And as we go through these readings week by week in order from the beginning of the Torah to the end, from the beginning of the Jewish year to the end, we analyze the stories and we comment on them. Of course, connecting them to real life, to contemporary life, is how these ancient stories come alive, which is one of my great passions as a rabbi. I hope you'll accompany me as I tell these stories of Torah and of the lives of others. If you miss an episode, you can always go back and find it wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for coming on this ancient and contemporary journey with me. And you can always visit my website, lenegditamid.us. That's LNEGDITAMID. LN as in nincompoop, and TAM as in mostly interesting, MID.us. LenegditaMid.us. You can find out about my other offerings, about spiritual direction, and just more about me. Okay, so now that we're on this journey, and to make contributions, of course, always helpful and very much appreciated. Okay, so today's episode, God's image. Do we want God's image? Do we see God's image in Pinchas? So I want to start by saying I struggle to see the good in some people. Maybe like you do. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to go into detail about what's going on in the world. But I suppose people have always struggled with this. And then it becomes an extra question, an extra special question, when we think about God's image, B'Tselem Elohim. And what it means to be made in God's image and being able to see, we're told that we're supposed to see God's image in everyone, which would mean, that would imply a loving God that is patient and kind and all the things that we like to describe God, whatever you think of as God, in the Bible, in our Psalms, in our prayers. We're always addressing that side of God, those sides of God. Yet the truth is that God is violent. God flies into rages and sends plagues upon God's own people, the Israelites, again and again. So the question remains, do we want to be made in that image? And so what does it mean, really, all of it? And in terms of Pinchas, maybe you remember the story of Pinchas at the end, or you're familiar with the story of Pinchas, but I described at the end of last week's Parsha. Pinchas shows his passion for the Israelite God by putting his sword through a Midianite woman and her Israelite lover. Not a very pretty picture. The story is that the pagan Midianites and Moabites who lived close to the Israelites, they all were interacting at that time, are seen as using their women to lure the Israelites away from their own all-powerful God back towards pagan gods and practices. In God's fury at seeing the Israelites cavorting with the local pagans, God sends a plague upon the Israelites. And the plague ends with Pinchas' horrific act of sticking this sword through these two lovers. And then God makes Pinchas a priest at the beginning of this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha. I'm a day late. It's Sunday today. I should have done this on Friday. Okay, so it's last week's Parsha by now. And what do we say? We say, how can God reward such violence? That's just disgusting and horrible. He's rewarding him. First of all, he rewards the people through because of Pinchas's act by ending the plague, and then he makes Pinchas a priest. And it's true that Pinchas is seen as a hero by many Jews. His story has been used as a license towards similar violence in today's time against Jews, against Jewish enemies, Israeli enemies. It's like, yay, yes, Pinchas, this is what the Bible tells us. Talk about, you know, and there are real life examples that we can point to of terrible violence against Muslims by Jews, pointing to this story. And it's just horrifying. It's kind of like, it's say, you know, and when we talk about, when we think about Islam specifically, we tend to say, oh, that's, you know, the media, especially since the Iraq war, since 9/11 has really been horrible in terms of its attitude towards Muslims. And everybody goes around thinking, many people still believe that Islam teaches violence. And yet, we have an example of this in our own Bible. So, how can we talk? So, look, getting back to the Jewish problem, or not getting back to it, but expanding on it, some of the, you know, these apologetics regarding the Pinchas story can be understood by looking at history. Paganism, first of all, throughout the ancient world, was a constant threat to the newly forming Israelite religion of monotheism. Monotheism was new. This is why we hear we read over and over and over again in the Torah, you are different. Stay away from those other people. Do not worship their gods. Do not eat their foods. You are different. Keep yourselves apart. So on the one hand, we can understand, okay, all right, that's understandable. I'm repeating myself. But so fear of the stranger has been compounded by millennia of violent anti-Judaism, anti-Semitism, anti-Judaism, millennia. So this kind of, you know, we have to live apart. We have to keep ourselves apart. That idea that many people have about Jews, which isn't true for most Jews, but is true for many of the most religious Jews. It's true. And there's through history, we can kind of understand why. But now getting back to the Parsha, there's another way of looking at this story, according to Arthur Waskow of the Shalom Center. And I highly recommend that you look him up if you're not familiar with him and read this. It's a little confusing at the beginning, but you can read about him and about the Shalom Center and this rabbi's writing about Pinchas last week. And what he says is that a quote from him is, the plague of violence ends the plague of sickness. Sounds pretty awful, right? But maybe, Rabbi Arthur Waskow says, maybe God sees God's self in Pinchas and realizes that God's own rage and violence are the wrong example to be setting. I'm going to say that again. Maybe God, when he sees what Pinchas does, he sees himself, and I'm generalizing, I'm using the word he, the pronoun he, even though I don't think of God in that way. But God sees God's self in Pinchas and realizes that God's own rage and violence are the wrong example to be setting to God's own people. Perhaps, as Waskow puts it, God is, quote, shocked into shame, so that he's actually ashamed of himself. And then he makes this pact with Pinchas by assigning him as a priest, and this happens at the very beginning of the Parsha. He says, I give him my pact of peace. Noten lo et briti shalom. So how interesting. Maybe this is God's way of saying, by making you a priest, you are taking a vow never to use violence again. And it's true. I mean, other than, obviously, a priest's job is to sacrifice animals. That's a type of violence. But it's a sacrifice to God. And so it's that we could go on and talk about that for a long time, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Now, Pinchas is changing his role. He's now become a conduit to God. And I say, you know, this may be a generous reading, but doesn't it often come down to how we read and look at things? I heard a recent episode, I love This American Life, you know, Ira Glass, I listen a lot. It's called The Possum Experiment. You can go to This American Life and look it up. Also from last week. And it investigates the basic question, are most of us bad or good? Its authors wonder whether it's better to stay on guard most of the time. Having been burned, isn't mistrust the better way to go? Because we've all been burned, right? Mistrust protects us, after all. And in the first act, it's an interview with a comedian and writer called Daryl Lennox, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Lennox. He's very funny. You should definitely go listen. You can hear a piece of his stand-up comedy. And Lennox has gone blind as a mature adult, so he's had most of his life as a seeing person. And this gives him the privilege of, and I'm calling it a privilege, of being able to compare the before and after. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, is it Black Like Me? I'm trying to remember what book where the person changes. No, it's a different book. Anyway, what it's like to dress up as a black person. There have been movies made about this. There have been books written about it. If you're a white person and then pretending to be a black person and having those experiences and vice versa, right? Or it makes me even think about, now I'm gonna go off on a little tangent, makes me think about trans women who've lived most of their lives as men and then become women and have the experience of, I heard one trans woman, and she was like, this sucks. Like, I wanted to be a woman. I feel like a woman, but I never had this experience of being a woman and how I am treated, how you're treated differently. So here's this tall, imposing black man who has lived with the kind of prejudice that a man like him, a tall, imposing black man would in the United States. And now he's forced to put his trust in strangers. And what he finds is that when people discover he's blind, they're suddenly no longer afraid of him. Total strangers share intimate secrets with him and make him, yes, they literally make him, it's like they're holding him as a hostage while they're helping him. They make him listen to confessions of all sorts. There's a priest who likes to have sex with men, a white cop who he sits down next to him at a table or at a bar, and he knocks into the cop. He doesn't know he's a cop. He doesn't know the guy's white, and he's like, "Oh, I'm really sorry." And the guy gets really defensive, and it takes him a while for him to say, like, to believe him and say, "Oh, you're actually blind." And then they have this whole conversation, and this white cop, you know, he even asks the cop, "Did you?" Like, is it because I'm black that you reacted this way? And he's like, no, who knows? Maybe he's lying, you know, to save face. But he says, my job has taught me to be on the lookout for danger for danger all the time. I'm looking for something that's wrong. So, and he actually tells him, like, I'm getting really burnt out. And I don't like the way this has changed me. And so they have this really wonderful conversation. And so this is the way things go. Like, there's this older woman who stops him And she walks with him and she's like, put away your phone. It's a very funny scene. And he's like, but I need my phone. I'm blind and I need to talk to my phone in order to help me get where I need to go. And she's like, I'm helping you now. I need you to listen to me. I'm dying. And I have to live every moment as much as I can, as fully as I can. So, and she's kind of in some way typical of the kind of people that confessed to him, that talked to him. They're mostly older white women. Women who might be afraid of him under different circumstances. And now they pour their hearts out to him. And the interviewer, another black man, he wonders aloud to Daryl Lennox, haven't these experiences made you more cynical and distrustful? Like, why not? And he says, or I didn't give you the answer yet, and I already said, why not? He says, no, they've actually given me more faith in humanity. Why? Because to him, it means that we are all just this small thing. This is how he says it. We're all just this small thing away from being exactly the same. So my blessing for the week's Parsha, for Pinchas, is may we read goodness and trust into our neighbors and strangers that we meet. And whenever possible, may we follow the way of peace in our dealings with those we disagree with and those who we feel threatened by and who literally threaten us. And most of all, may we retain our faith in humanity. And let's say amen. And thank you for listening. See you next week.